You know, and this morning as we go into what we're going to talk about, you know, the last 3 weeks prior to today, we've been talking about Better Together, and we've talked about two specific institutions, and I don't want to go into it, because you can go to fwcpo.org and really hear part one. Part two, it was about the family. Part three, last week, and today is going to be about the church. Two major institutions that God created. In Genesis, he created the family, right? He said, Adam, and he created Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Praise the Lord. Bless the family. And then you have in Acts, the church. God, the institution of the church. Those two institutions, the devil despises, hates, and does everything he possibly could to try to discredit those two institutions. Why? Because there's power in family. There's power in family, and there's power in the church. And so those two things, so that we were talking about the importance. So this morning, as we talk about this, we talk about the importance of the church. I want to make a statement to start off with. Make a statement that you may not be like, wow, really? Are you serious? Yes. You know, as you can already tell, phones are going off. People are talking. The first service was very ADD. I look like it's pretty much going to be the same way this service too. A little ADD-ish, but that's okay. But start off with saying this statement. It may shock you. Don't go to church. Ooh, what are you saying? All right. You're saying don't go to church? Absolutely. Do not go to church. Be the church. Don't go to church. Be the church. You may say, well, how do we be the church? How do you do that? To be the church, you've got to first understand. You have to find out what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church. And once we understand the purpose of the church, we can walk in the full understanding of being the church. And I will say this, when I was putting together this message, you know, God put on my heart that, you know, it's like, you know what, we're talking about the importance of the church in a believer's life, in an unbeliever's life. But really, importance is relative. Because some people don't believe that church is important. If they were, they would be here every Sunday. So when I say the importance of church, it's my job here this morning, and my prayer is that you see the purpose of the church. And in the purpose of the church and why God created it, you see the importance therein. And it'll stir you up. It'll stir you up. It's easy to get in the habit of not going to church. But when we do that, we miss out on the things that God wants to teach us through the church. We also miss out on what we can contribute to the church. So to get things started this morning, I'm going to talk about some wrong reasons to go to church. Is that okay? Some wrong reasons to go to church? Here's some wrong reasons to go to church. Okay, now I'm not looking around. I'm not dissing on people. All right, just this is some wrong reasons to go to church. Okay, some of these are actually very much happened in this church throughout the last 33, 34 years. Okay, some wrong reasons to go to church. Okay, the boat trailer had a flat tire, so we couldn't go to the lake today. Right? How many singles? How many single people are in the house? Any singles? You single, right? All right. Some of you are proud of it. Some of you are, you know, single. All right. Well, this, you know, wrong reason to go to church, to scope out all the hot looking women or the hot looking men. It's a wrong reason to go to church. It's true. You know, the wrong reason to go to church. Another wrong reason to go to church. I wanted to find out the latest gossip from brother or sister so-and-so. That's a wrong reason to go to church. Can someone say amen? All right. Another reason, wrong reason to go to church. It was either go to church or put up with my spouse. It's a wrong time to elbow your spouse if that is you. If they're not here, you can laugh. Wrong reason to go to church. I was hungry and I was hoping like a large combo size communion. I've seen that happen before. Seeing people when the communion tray goes by, they get a handful because they're hungry. It's true. I've seen it. This is another one that's happened before. I had the wrong reason to go to church. I meant to leave before the church started, but locked my keys in the car. That is a wrong reason to go to church. Another wrong reason, someone told me that last week was really good. You say, well, really? Why would you say that? Because every week we should be here. Not just because the last week was really good. Couple more. Wrong reason to go to church. And this has happened before. This happened twice. Since the banks were closed, I was really hoping to make some change out of the offering buckets. True story. It's true. And the last one, it's been a really tough week, and I was hoping that I could catch up on my sleep. So hopefully that's only when I'm preaching now, when Pastor Kathy's preaching. All right? And so, but so this morning, we're going to talk about reasons or the importance, the purpose of the church this morning. The purpose of the church. I wanted to start a little lighthearted because this is an in-your-face message. It really is. And it is an in-your-face message. And but how many of you know that if we had our choice as a human being, that we, you know, if we could eat, you know, oh my gosh, when it's dinner time or when it's time to eat, that, you know the right thing to do is to eat our meal, you know, eat whatever is supposed to be healthy, but we don't automatically go to the dessert. I know some of us would like to, right? You know, so I remember we were on our cruise, we did a little getaway, and there was one night we actually ate dessert first. You know, a lot of us would like to do that every single time, but we know that we can't do that because it's not healthy. It's not healthy, and so, you know, when you are younger or you're a parent, you know that you want to give your children, you know, you want to give them great desserts and, you know, stuff that they like. But a lot of times you know that they have to eat the stuff that is the healthiest and it doesn't taste necessarily that good. But you know it's good for them and they need to eat it anyways. They don't know that, but you're still presenting it to them because they know it's going to help them in the long run. That is this message this morning. And so, as you're quiet, and, you know, because, you know, as we talk about the purpose of the church, this is an in-your-face type message, but I really do believe with all of my heart that when at the end you're going to say, man, I got a greater understanding. So let's go through some of these this morning. Purpose of the church, there's so many different reasons, so many different things, but I've whittled it down to some that I believe that are very, very important for Family Worship Center. So the purpose of the church, one reason is to refuel and to recharge. To refuel and to recharge. How many of you have an extra gas can? You have a gas tank in your car, right? You have your gas tank, right? That you have your battery in your car. If both of those are drained, you have a vehicle that may look pretty but goes nowhere. God instilled and created the church, right, to be a place where we can come in to refuel and to recharge, right? When you come to church, you will get some fuel to help you make it throughout your week. So many times that I've been in service myself, and God gave me something in that moment that helped me either that week or later that month. And I would have missed out on that if I wasn't there. And so, as Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. As you hear God's word, it's going to charge your spiritual batteries. Can someone say amen? Amen. Another reason, another purpose for the church. Another purpose for the church is to build significant relationships. To build significant relationships. God created Adam, and there was not a compatible helper to be found. You think about that. All of creation was already created except for Eve. And then God made Eve. Why? Because we need other people. We need significant relationships. Now, don't throw anything at me, but you cannot find, or you're not going to have your needs met by your cat, by your dog, by your pet. Don't be peeing out on me right now. But we need significant relationships. There are things that people can speak into your life, words of encouragement that you're not going to get from a dog, that you're not going to get from a cat, that you're not going to get from a bird, or whatever you're rolling with these days. And I'm not against animals, so don't get on me about that, right? So don't hate email me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the importance of significant relationships in your life. There's no better place to build friendships than those who are pursuing Christ the same way you are right here at Family Worship Center. A network of friends that also creates an environment to support and for stability in your life. You know, I don't claim to be a fisherman, so don't. I'm not a fisherman, but I will say that if you look at that net, that picture of the net, the strength of the net is in the relationship that each piece of rope, or each piece of string, has with one another. When we are bound together, we become stronger and we become healthier. One string alone isn't strong enough. When you take each of those ropes, each of those areas, and you bind them together, it becomes stronger. It also helps us catch more fish. When a new person walks through the door, church, when they walk in the door and they see the environment surrounded by love and surrounded by caring people, he or she will be caught by the love of God to build significant relationships. Another reason, and we'll just dovetails right together, is to win the lost. And now the term lost is a very churchy, Christianese type of word, but it means the unbeliever. To win the lost. So, you know, here's the deal. You, me, the person next to you, person behind you, person in front of you, person down the row, person all the way in the back, person right here up front. Each and every one of us, we have hope. We have the purpose of life. We have Jesus. It's up to you, it's up to I to find people who don't know about Jesus. And so as Luke 15, verses 4 through 7, and some of you love this song. This is where this scripture comes from, reckless love. It goes on to say in verse 15, verse 4 through 7, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together to say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You talk about a party. That's a party. Five people last week made a decision for Christ. Five people, there's a party going on in heaven. When we come into this place, they experience the love of God. They not just in just what's being said, but they experience it in action when they walk in. One of the most thrilling things that a person can do, I believe a child of God can do. You know, I'm a thrill seeker. I used to be more of a thrill seeker when I was younger. Now that I have a wife and kids, you got responsibility, you think rationally. You know, I've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane before, loved every minute of it. I want to do it again. My wife says I don't have enough life insurance. You know, both of us have gone whitewater rafting with people that, you know, the water was so high because the ice was melting that professionals were taking their ass out of the river, and going up the side of the mountain. And Pastor Kathy and I were some people like, "Yeah, let's keep going," and we finish it till the end. I love adrenaline pumping stuff when your heart boom, 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 boom. I love that. Roller coasters, love them. Love roller coasters, right? I love that stuff. But you really want that heart pumping, like, oh my gosh, that adrenaline pumping. Lead somebody to Jesus. share the love of God with somebody and say that prayer. As your heart is beating fast, as you're sitting there and you're showing and sharing the love of God with somebody, you'll walk away. That was amazing. That is the best. And I want to just say this as well, since we're on this topic about winning the lost. And don't just invite people to church. Maybe friends. Don't just invite them to church. See, no one wants to come into a place where they're unfamiliar with. You know, they're all new about themselves and everything. They're looking, where's sisters? You know, where's Tommy? Okay, well, I'm waiting in the car, and then they don't see Tommy showing up. So they're like, okay, they leave. My encouragement to you, when you invite somebody, meet them. Say you go pick them up. You know, say that, you know, hey, afterwards we'll go to lunch. Something compel that they're walking in, not by themselves. It takes away that awkwardness. It really, really does. And that's really, truly compelling them. Taking that extra step. So let's go to the next one. Next reason. Purpose of the church. To serve others. To serve others. Now you're going to get super, super quiet with this one. All right? It is selfish to always want to be the one that's being served. It is selfish to always want to be the one being served. And we have to realize as children of God, believers, Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, right? As we read this scripture, we have to remember that church is just, being a child of God is not about us. It gets to a point in time when we walk through the door. I don't know when it happened for me. I can't tell you. But I do know that it changed. That I used to come to church to receive. And there came a point in my walk with Christ. And I can't tell you when it happened, but I can tell you why it happened. It came to a point in my walk with Christ that I stopped thinking about me and I started thinking about them. And it was when I was serving. When I was serving in the... I was a vocalist on a music ministry. I was a youth worker in the youth ministry. And as I served, it became less about me and more about them. That's when that switched happened. But see, Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16 says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up." Woo, grow up. Some of us need to realize that. I don't mean grow up naturally. Some of us need to grow up spiritually. Things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. Our church is going to be most effective. Family Worship Center is going to be most effective when we all do our part. There's so many different ways to be involved here at Family Worship Center. That's why we have our dream team. Our dream team is here, and there's different ways. There's, you know, listing out areas, because not everyone's supposed to be up here singing. Not everyone's got that. Everyone thinks they got that gift, but not everyone got it. I tell you, just watch the first week of American Idol. You know, everyone thinks they got it, but no, Simon, no, or whoever it is these days. I don't know, but not everybody. But you know what? It's understanding where your wheelhouse is. What's strong. So, you know, maybe it's making people feel welcome. You know, holding signs up, showing that love of God. Is that when people are walking up, they see that someone may have had a bad week. Ooh. Someone might be having a bad month. Some of us have been there. Some people may be having a bad year. Oh, praise the Lord. And man, you know what? That sign saying, "We're glad that you're here," softens their heart as they walk through the door. And they continue as they go through and they see the greeters and they're getting welcomed. See the parking lot, showing people where to go. areas that we take for granted of but are so important because it's serving others. You want to see a frustrated individual that the first time guest that comes in and they don't know where to drive because there's no one in the parking lot. And they walk in, this church is all jacked up. They're not getting a true, honest representation of Jesus. And not a true, honest representation of Family Worship Center. You know, from parking lot to greeter, coffee, nursery worker, preschool, toddler, children's church, world changers, youth group, decision youth group, ushers, sound, media, prayer and altar worker, hospitality, cleaning, you know, office volunteers. I mean, there's so many different areas that we can get involved with to serve others. Jesus said, tells us what God says about serving in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. He says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't get mad at me. This is what the Bible says. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look for me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And we reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you do not do unto me. And you may say, well, Pastor John, you just talked about all these different ministries within the church, you know. But, you know, we're just talking about, you know, showing that Jesus gave a great description right here. You know, the clothed and the sick and the... Well, that's the ministry of helps. But I'll ask you, without looking around, have you signed up for Serve Day yet? Because that is doing exactly what that says. Serve Day is going any... Serve Day, there's, you know, 16 different locations. And it goes anywhere from serving the elderly to the single mom to the widow serving in our elementary schools and beach cleanup so many different things, you know, honoring our first responders, you know, there's so many different areas, and the homeless ministry. There's so many different aspects and facets of Serve Day. And I ask you, have you signed up yet? And I don't feel bad if you're working. I know some people say, I'm working. No, we're working. But if you're not working, have you signed up yet? And I say this with love, why haven't you signed up? Oh, PJ, I'm just waiting. Pastor John, Pastor, I'm just waiting to feel led. I'm waiting to feel led. Well, let me give you a number two pencil. You can feel led all you want. Now's the time to act. Now's the time. After Pastor Kathy's message last for a week, I know I'm going to be there. I know I was compelled to sign up in different areas. I'm on for all areas after her message last week. If you missed it, you need to go back on FWCPO.org and listen to it. It's very encouraging. It's very motivating about being selfless. So Serve Day. Remember, next week, it's not going to be a 10:45 service. You will be walking into people praying. You know, because there's going to be individuals here that are praying. 9 a.m. Look at your neighbor and say, 9 a.m. We're going to have a couple of praise songs. Take care of some business and go out together. I'm excited. Because everybody's going to be in this room together under, you know, at the same time. Together under one roof. So you guys get to see who attends the first service. And they get to see who attends the second service. You know? And everyone's together. So I'm excited about that. So, serve others. To go on, another purpose of the church is to stay balanced. We are faced, you and I, we are faced in this world with many challenges. We're faced with challenges, whether you go to school, whether you work, you know, all this work, but, you know, if you were secularly, specifically, we are faced with challenges in what we see, what we hear, and experience. And a lot of times those come in conflict with our walk with Christ. And so we, to stay balanced, church helps us balance that out. Because each and every one of us, you know, we have a flesh side that we can allow to get stronger while our spirit gets weaker. So church helps us and really brings things to light that maybe we don't even realize that we're in darkness about. Because a lot of times when we go to our devotionals, we're going with things that maybe we don't necessarily need to hear, need to read. And a lot of times in church, some ministry, small groups or whatnot, that comes out, it surfaces. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, then they will no longer, Galatians chapter 5, to stay balanced, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of a sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. It's important that we are feeding and receiving the Spirit-filled life in order to counteract the effects of the world. It's true, we live in this world, but the Bible says we're not of it. And church helps us balance that out. Can someone say amen? Another reason, gotta keep going. Another reason for the purpose of the church is, and this is some people might think this is a bad word, and I'll apologize up front. I never want to say anything that's going to be abrasive. But this is, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent with you. Okay? This next one may offend you. I hope not. The next one is to be accountable. Some people think accountability is a curse word. That's how they act. Accountability is very important as a child of God. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you that are younger and lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides for the church, giving the due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Clothe yourself with humility. Church is a place for us to be held, to be kept accountable. In love. I will say in love. It reminds us who we are. And not only that, it reminds us whose we are. We have already talked about the importance of relationships in our lives. Another reason why they are important is that you have people around you that will tell you when you're starting to mess up. They love you enough to say in love, hey, Tommy, hey, man, things don't look, you know, I saw how you were treating your wife. You know, hey, Susie. You know, listen how you were talking about your husband. And listen, I love you and all. I just want to encourage you. Hey, I noticed it. Hey, I saw this. Hey, I saw this Facebook post. Hey, I saw you were, blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's not about being mean, or it's about loving each other, believing in each other, believing the best. Many of us say that we're living for God. But our church relationships help us live the lifestyle. Another reason why the purpose of the church is to join in unified prayer and worship. To join in unified prayer and worship. In Matthew 18, it says, again, I tell you that two of you on earth agreeing about anything you ask ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So cool. So awesome when believers come together and worship God. Pray together. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John reach out to a 40-year-old crippled man, and he gets healed instantly. And then they get called by the authorities and reprimanded. You know, so what do they do? Think about this. What do they do after they're released? They didn't go gossip and complain. They didn't go protest with signs, you know, and you know, storm the castle. What do they do? The Bible says in Acts 4, 23 and 24, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and everything within them. Skipping down to verse 31. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Man, when you got a rough week, when you get nailed by your boss, you know, and they're just negative, and this and that, everything else, and you come together and you get praise and worship, you get spiritually charged up, and all of a sudden, you walk out, right? You walk out with, you're ready to speak the word of God boldly again. It balances out when you're out, when you're here in unified prayer and in unified worship. That's why we have praise and worship every single Sunday. That's why we do 707 the first Wednesday of every month. And you heard the announcement. You know, there's actually two 707s left in the year 2018. We're not doing one in December. Right? We're not doing one in December, but there's one in October and one in November. And the Spirit of God specifically dealt with me about a specific theme for each of those nights. A direction, I should say. I hate themes, but a direction. Right? And so this coming October is going to be a night of healing. So you need healing in your body. You need healing emotionally, spiritually. I mean, just any aspect of healing. Come prepared to receive. Come prepared to get healed. And then bring somebody with you. Right? Because when we are all together, the Spirit of God moved mightily. Two or more gathered together. Another reason, I got to keep going. Another reason why. There's a lot of information. But you know what? I want to hit it from all different types. Because this is the last time. This is the conclusion of the series, with the exception of next week's Serve Day. So, I'm hitting it from all types of the mountain, all sides of the mountain, purpose of the church, to encourage others. To encourage others, what we're doing right now. I mean, and not only it should not just come from this, from behind this pulpit, not behind my, from myself, or Pastor Kathy, or any of the pastoral staff, right? Because each and every one of us, as a child of God, should want and desire to push, prompt, and prod others to live faithfully for Jesus Christ. That's why we have church. That's why we have small groups here at Family Worship Center. Because you encourage each other. You come into that place where you're together, you know, and then you begin to open up the Word of God, or you break bread together. You're walking up the bridge, or doing whatever you're doing. You're doing it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why the church. That's why, you know, each and every one of us are accepted in those small groups. Each and every one of you are accepted in this church. No matter what your past has been, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's going on in your life, you know you're going to be loved. You know you're going to be accepted. You know you're going to be appreciated. Why? Because that is the characteristic of God, and that should be the characteristic of us. That is who we are called to be. We should never, ever, 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 I thank God that we're not a church of gossipers. I thank God that we're not a church that, you know, that cuts people down. This is and should be a safe place. And the more safer, I don't know, that's not proper English, the safer the atmosphere is, the more content people will start standing up and walking down to this altar instead of us saying, we don't want to embarrass you. But praise the Lord, because there's such an atmosphere of love in this place that people aren't ashamed. They run to God. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching. So important to encourage one another. Another reason, the purpose of the church, to grow and mature in your walk with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Coming to church does do that. You say, well, I'm good. I'm good. Well, let me ask you a question. Is your life in Christ producing fruit? Are you growing as a Christian consistently? Not here and there, consistently. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having fun in church. You know me. I'm not, that's my personality. They're only hanging out. That's me. That's my personality. But we must be growing as a believer. We must. That should be our top priority. If something isn't growing, it usually means it's either deformed or dead. Now, my 17-year-old son is going to be 18 soon. If Nick, 18 years old, taller than me right now, but if let's say he was the same size he was when he was 12 months old at the age of 18 years old, something would obviously be wrong, wouldn't it? If we had a spiritual x-ray, how would your spirit man look? How would your spirit man, what would it look like? I've been in the church for 35 years, bless God. Shama. But yet, do you still look like a 4-year-old toddler spiritually? Because you haven't been growing. Because we haven't been growing. John chapter 15, verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have our discipleship, the ultimate transformation, actually starts next week. It's a discipleship first service, or during the first service, 9 o'clock, over next door, Suite 5. Everything we possibly can do to help you grow. Everything we possibly can do to help you mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we have, that's what we do, have grow. You know, grow, it tells you about you, it explores your giftings, and then how you can get involved. All these intertwine with each other, like the net. They're not in any order of importance. If you notice that they're just a little bit here and there, because you know what? They're all important, but they all dovetail together like that net. And the last one I'm going to go over here this morning. Importance, the purpose of the church is to complete the body. To complete the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to do some heavenly homework. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. It talks about, Paul talks about and compares the body of Christ to our physical body. And it goes on to talk about, the foot wanting to be the hand and the eye and the ear and everything else. The importance that your eye can't be your ear and your ear can't be your eye. And, you know, each and every one of you got gifts and talents. Each and every one of you have a place. How would you feel if you got up this morning and your arms just said, I don't feel like going today. Go on without me. We're just going to chill. How would you feel if your ears did that? How'd you feel if your tongue did that? Spouses would be like, praise the Lord, right? But how would you feel? Because it wouldn't be the best representation of you, would it? And yet, when you're not here, and an unbeliever walks through the door, they may see something like this picture here. Whoa, what's that? What's that? This picture represents different parts of the body. And the believer will walk in and say, wait, they don't see that there's missing parts. All they see is there's something not right. They may not recognize it the way we're labeling it out right now because they don't know. But when they walk in and say, wait a second, there's something just ain't right. It just ain't flowing. I didn't connect. I didn't feel welcome. I didn't connect. All of our parts here. You say, well, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be a part. God, if you say that family worship center is your home, guess what? You are a part. Because God has placed everybody in the body of Christ as it has pleased him. That's exactly what it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That he places everybody in the body of Christ as it has pleased him. The church is incomplete without you. Know that. When you're not here, we're missing a limb. And you're out there in the world, almost kind of like an amputated body part. When you're here, it completes the group. You complete the group. Every one of you are vitally important. You need to understand that. Oh, they're not going to know if I'm not there. No. God knows. And if you're listening to any of these reasons, purposes of the church, you see that if you're not here, and God's called you to love on those little babies, to work with Miss Rachel upstairs, to be in the parking lot, to show people the love of God and where to park to that first impression, and you're not here. Or you drive in and you don't serve anywhere, and you see holes that we now have just exposed, and you don't get involved. You see that. It's because you are vitally important. I'm going to close with this story, if the music ministry wouldn't mind coming up. I'm going to close with this story. It's one of my favorite stories when we talk about the purpose of the church. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every single Sunday. It goes on to say, I've gone to church for 30 years now, he wrote. And in that time, I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting their time by giving sermons at all. I'll stop right there. I wonder how many times each of us have thought that. I didn't get anything. Why am I even going? Allow me to read you what someone rebutted in this column 3 or 4 weeks later. Because it started a controversy. It went on for weeks. Someone wrote in this rebuttal, this clincher. I have been married for 30 years now. And in that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu of a single meal. But I do know this. They nourished me and gave me the strength that I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. No one can make us go to church. You may seem like maybe even when you are here, you come through the doors. But I want to ask you to self-evaluate this morning. A Sunday you walk in, you might be here in body, but are you here mentally? Are you here? Are you connecting? Are you receiving? Are you participating? Each one of us needs to ask ourselves this on the weekly. Why am I in church today? What do I expect to receive? What do I expect to give? I encourage you, let's make church a priority. Because it was a priority for God to create it. When we make it a priority, it's not so that we can say we went to church. But honestly, it's so that we can use the gifts that God has given us to their potential. I started with a statement. I'm going to end with a statement. Let's not just go to church. Let's be the church. Every head bowed, every head closed. Father God, I thank you for this time. I'm just opening up your word and being real. Father, I realize that it may not be the most popular message that has ever come out of my mouth, but that's okay. I believe it was a necessary message that needed to come out of our mouth because of how you view the church, how you view the local body, and the difference that it's supposed to make, and the importance that you put on it.